I want to begin by telling you that there's a verse in Psalms 119 in verse 18 that you will read right over if you're not careful. But it's a real revelation. And it says this, it says, "Open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law." In other words, there could be wonderful things all around me. I could have wonderful things in my family. I could have wonderful things that are loaded with potential in the job that I presently have, the marriage, the family, the situation that I'm presently in may not on the surface look like much, but when God opens your eyes, you can see wonderful things, not just challenges, not just difficulties, but God has to open our eyes to see the wonderful things. And some years ago, I heard and read this story, and I think that it so speaks to us today. A man by the name of Russell Conwell was in the Middle East, and he was touring the Holy Land back in 1840. And as he was touring the Holy Land by camel, staying in a tent at night, and had a campfire that an Arab guide was taking him through the Holy Land, he was a wealthy businessman. He had been a graduate of Yale University and had a law degree, and he had done well in life, and later he would become a preacher. And the thing that changed his life was a story that that Arab guide told by the campfire that night. He took it, put it in a little book back in the 1800s, and it caught fire without the sales of marketing and internet and all TV and radio. None of that existed, but that book became an amazing bestseller that sold 7 million copies in the 1800s, and he was asked to give the speech. Again, it's not a religious book, but he was asked to give the speech 6,000 times, and amazingly, he took the resources from the prophets and founded Temple University in Pennsylvania that has 40,000 students today, and it's all out of this one story. I'm going to sum it up real quick because it has an eternal lesson that I think is a biblical principle that God wants to burn into your heart today. Are you ready for this? I believe you are. Here's the story. That guide began to tell this story, and he said there was a man, it's a true story, in South Africa. There was a man in South Africa by the name of Ali Hafed, and he worked and lived on his own farm. He had a plow, and he had an ox, maybe a mule. He had an old cabin, and he had acres of land there that he was growing produce to feed his little family and sell in a market and make a living. And he had a, you know, had a good living. He wasn't wealthy or anything, but he worked hard every day of his life by the sweat of his brow, calluses on his hands. Back then, no tractors. He just had to push that plow with that ox and work to provide. One day, a man came by who traveled all over, and he was traveling through, and he saw how bad he was working, how hard he was working. And he said, "It's a shame you have to work like that. If you could just go to India, they have discovered diamond mines in India. And all you have to do is," this is what he told him. He said, "There's a place called the Valley of the Moon between two mountains. And all you've got to do is stand in the stream and reach down and pull out of the stream diamonds the size of rocks. And you can become fabulously wealthy." And that night, that man went to bed discontent. And he rolled and tossed, and this went on for several days and weeks, and finally he had had all he could take, and he decided that he was going to become a soldier of fortune. He sold the farm, he kissed his wife and kids goodbye, and he said, "I've got you a temporary place, and when I come back, you'll be fabulously wealthy. You'll sit on thrones. I'm going to find diamonds." He went to India and used that money that he got from selling the farm, and he searched and searched and searched and found no diamonds. He ended up in Europe. And to make a long story short, in a moment of desperation, he wrote a little suicide note that said, "There are no diamonds anywhere," and sent it back to his wife and dove into a raging stream in Spain and took his life. It's a sad story and a true story. But what happened after that is what was amazing, because the man who bought that farm took that same plow, that same ox, that same dirt, that same ground, that same rough, hard way of living, day after day plowing, and he took that little cabin, moved his family in it, and started working that field. And amazingly, as he would go along, the most aggravating thing is that plow kept hitting these rocks. And he would take the rocks and have to stop and throw them over to the side, acres and acres and acres and acres of rocks, these annoying rocks. And he would just throw them. They were everywhere. One of them was particularly beautiful. It was a dark black rock. And when the sun hit it, he said it had the colors of the rainbow in it. And he took it back to his little cabin and put it on the mantle over the fireplace and just used it as decorations. And one day the local priest came by to welcome this man and his family to the community, invite them to church. And he looked up and he saw that rock sitting up on the mantle, and his jaw dropped and he stopped in mid-sentence and he walked back and he said, "Where did you get this?" And he said, "Oh, I got it out of the field. They're everywhere. I've got stacks and stacks and stacks of them." He said, "You don't understand. That's a diamond in the rough." Sure enough, he took it and got it researched, and that first rock was worth $25,000 in the 1800s, which would be millions today. It was the discovery of the world's largest diamond mine in history. The famous Golconda diamond mines, where the Queen of England and all of the royalty of Europe buy their diamonds because they are the purest diamonds known to mankind. They all came from that place that man who flung himself into the river never understood and never realized that everything he was searching for, everything he was looking for way out there, he never realized he had been living in acres of diamonds. It's true in our lives. So many times we think, if I had their life, if I had that family, if I had that marriage, if I had that job, if I could live in that house, if I had that car, if I could reach that place that they have reached, and we look on Instagram and see perfect-looking posed families and say, if I just had that kind of family and that kind of marriage, and we're always looking out there for the grass that's greener on the other side, and we fail to recognize that right where we are, there are diamonds everywhere, that we're living in the best days of our life, not someday, but right here, right now. You are blessed and you're living in acres of diamonds. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're living in the unsearchable riches of His grace and His mercy and His favor. And I'm not going to wait until I get this and get that before I enjoy my life. I'm living in acres of diamonds. I've got a beautiful family. I've got a church that loves God. I've got a purpose. I'm saved. My sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to heaven. And so many times we don't see it, and we have to say, "God, open my eyes again to wonderful things." To wonderful things. If you can lay down your head on the pillow and know your name is written in the book of life, you're living in acres of diamonds. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, He said, "You'll go nowhere without me. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." You're living in acres of diamonds. There's another story that I heard, true story, that happened in Titusville, Pennsylvania. There was a farmer up there who had a dairy farm, had a bunch of cattle, and those cattle drink a lot of water, and he had a stream that went right through the property. It was a beautiful little river, but it had a stench. It had a terrible smell, and it was so bad that the cows wouldn't drink it, and he had to go dig wells on every place of that property so that the cows wouldn't thirst to death, and it was so aggravating all the time, and he just couldn't stand the smell that awful river going through his land had. Finally, he just got tired and weary of it. True story. Sold the land for $833. $833 back in the 1900s, the early 1900s. The man who bought the farm noticed the same stinky river. And he said, "I'm going to find out what's wrong with that thing. I don't blame the cows. I wouldn't drink it either." And he brought in some specialists. And the reason that it had a terrible smell is because it had oil in it. It had coal and oil in it. It was one of the largest oil discoveries in that part of the country. Over $100 million worth of wealth came out of that stinky river. And the city of Titusville stands today, and those wells continue to pump oil as a testimony that that man who sold that farm for $833 never realized he was living in acres of diamonds. And I'm here today to say to some of you, you better start living now. You better start enjoying your life now. You better start realizing that you don't have a tube in your nose. You're not sitting in a hospital in intensive care. You're not. You got so much to be thankful for, so much to appreciate in your life, and maybe your marriage isn't the best, and the enemy's telling you the grass is greener on the other side. That girl at the office is winking at you. Yeah, it might be greener on the other side because there's a busted septic tank over there. You better stay right where you are and dig in your own, because the problem with that story that bothered me when I read it is somebody took the same plow. Not another one, the same land, the same dirt. Somebody said, I've just been dealt a bad deck of cards and life hadn't been fair to me. But somebody could take the same deck. Somebody could take the same plow. Somebody could take that ox that you're married to, that you're complaining about, and they could take him and fix him up. That same marriage that you wish that you had. You saw all those Valentine pictures of other people, but there's potential in your marriage, in your relationship, in your job, in your family, right where you are. And I'm tired of people sitting around depressed and beat up and defeated and tore up from the floor up, saying, I wish somebody'd give me a break, and I wish I could get lucky, and I wish I could win the lotto. You have won the lotto. You're living in America. You have the opportunities. God is on your side. The power of the Lord is with you, and He can open your eyes to wonderful things that you've never seen. Give Him praise if you're thankful. If you're grateful, not gonna be, but be thankful for where you are and what you've got in your hand. And we see it in the Bible. We see this story of acres of diamonds told in a spiritual form. When the prodigal son goes to his father, he's living in the father's house. He's laying in that bed and enjoying an amazing life. The father provides all that he needs. The father blesses him. The father has put a ring on him, and he has all of his shame has been covered, and he's amazing, and he's got an amazing life. But the whole time he had it, he had friends that were saying, out there, they're really living. Out there, man, you ought to go out there. There's a party out there. It's not in the church. It's not in the father's house. He does it, and we watch it all the time. And I feel for these parents who are here, and you've got teenagers. I've been there. And it came, that little spirit came through my house, and it got every one of my children, tried to, and said, life isn't in the church where daddy is, and the free chapel. Aren't you tired of free chapel? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And and he says to your children, it's out there. They're smoking weed. They're getting high. You're missing out. You got to get in the club. You're missing it out. You're not having fun. You ought to be sleeping around. You ought to be doing it all. You ought to be getting drunk. You ought to be at the party. And they all go, you've seen them, Pentecostal gigolos, they go out and they try and they come back broke, they come back like the prodigal, to find out that they had it all and they never even realized it was right under their nose. And if you got a crazy teenager, be encouraged, because what you're putting in them will never leave them, and it'll bring them like a hook in their jaw right back to the foot of the cross, because they're living in acres of diamonds, and one day their eyes will get open. They might have to hit the bottom, but their eyes will get open. They might go through some sorrow, but their eyes will open. Hallelujah. I'm living in acres of diamonds, and it blesses me and my children and my children's children. I
will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And all my children love the Lord now. All of them serving the Lord. Think about a diamond is it takes intense heat and pressure and time. We want to be an overnight instant success. Why don't they hurry up and discover me? Remember when I started out in ministry, I felt so called, preaching in double-wide trailers, that somebody put a sign on and called it a startup church. Preaching in storefront churches, 60, 70, 80, 150 people, me and my brother. Going to churches so small that at the end of the revival, we felt we were supposed to, we had to split our check, and which is already, that's serious when you have to split the check and they ain't giving nothing, no how, and ain't no people. So we just give it back and say, Mom and Dad, we're coming home this weekend to eat. But you know, I look back in my life and I wouldn't take anything for those days. Because it was acres of diamonds. It's what made the heat and the pressure and trusting God and not knowing how I was going to get there and being frustrated because it wasn't happening on my time schedule. And so when a diamond is being made, all a diamond is carbon. There's nothing to it. It's ugly. It's unattractive. You'll walk right past it and think it's just another rock. But the thing that transforms it from just carbon is the heat and the pressure and time. God's timing is not your timing. And if God has you in a waiting period, it's not wasting your time. He's training you. You're being trained. You're in training for reigning. And it's going to take intense heat and pressure. God knows just how much pressure it's going to require, and heat it's going to require for the diamond in you. And what happens is as that carbon gets under more and more pressure and heats it up, and the lava from volcanoes gets in it and starts, and it just going through the fiery trial and pressure, suddenly those carbons, when it gets just right, when it gets just heated enough and pressurized enough, the atoms in the carbon bond, and the moment they bond, boom, a diamond is born. So I'm saying to you today, don't run from your trials. Don't run from your challenges. Don't run and whine every time trouble comes and challenges come. If you're going to build anything in life, it's going to require pressure. It's going to require heat. It's going to require fiery trials. There's going to be days when you'd rather stay in bed. There's going to be days when you'd rather give up on the dream. There's going to be days when you just feel like walking away from it all. But in that process, God is purifying you. God is doing a work in you. God is getting you so that when you get to your acres of diamonds, it won't be about that. It'll still be about him, and you'll realize that I couldn't have done it without him. I think about that story in the Old Testament of Abraham and Isaac, how God had to open the eyes of Abraham. Watch this. The Bible said that Abraham and Lot were so blessed that their flocks multiplied and their shepherds started fighting with one another over the water holes. And the scripture said that Abraham, being the peacemaker, came and said, I don't want to fight with you. You're family. You're my nephew. You take and choose the green grass and the well-watered plains of Jordan. And oh, look at the flashes on the horizon of Las Vegas, Sodom and Gomorrah. It's all that way. It looks green. It looks lush. And there's the diamonds. Look at the diamond. Look at that city. It's modern. It's progressive. Look how beautiful it is. Or, Lot, you can go to the desert behind curtain number two. He said, and he should have shown honor to the old man, but because he didn't have anything except what was left over from Abraham's blessing that had come on his life. But he said, I choose the well-watered plains of Jordan. Look at the green grass. And boy, I like that flashy city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah. And he took his family out in search of diamonds. He's looking, he's searching, he's searching, he's searching. But I never read that he ever found a diamond way out there. It wasn't way out there. The covenant was right here. But he went way out there. And he never found a diamond, but he lost his wife. She was turned into a pillar of salt. Fire burned up everything he ever possessed, and it burned the cities down because of the wicked sin there. And we find that he ran for his life and committed a horrible sin with two of his daughters, and all kinds of trouble broke out. His life was forever changed. That happened when he said, the blessing is out there somewhere. And he followed chasing after diamonds. But watch now. Abraham goes the opposite direction. And he gets out in the middle of a desert. A desert is just a place of intense heat and pressure. You feel forsaken. You feel abandoned. You feel alone. You feel like you're forgotten. And he's out in the desert. And there's nothing out there. And one day he just reaches down and picks up sand. And when he sees the sand, God opens his eyes to wonderful things. Anybody else would have just saw an old plow and an old ox and an old farmhouse and said, I'm going to sell this. But when he looked at dirt, God opened his eyes and God spoke and said, as the sands of the seashore, so shall your seed be. I'm going to make a whole nation called Israel. Natural Israel will come out of you. And then he looks up and there's nothing out there. There's no bright lights. There's no green grass. It's pressure. It's heat. It's a struggle every day just to exist. And you feel like you got all kinds of potential, but man, I'm out here in the middle of a desert. And he looks up and he sees twinkle, twinkle, little star. And the stars, God opens his eyes. Anybody else would have just saw stars, but God showed him the potential of where he was, and he said, I'm going to use this dark place, this wilderness place in your life to show you something about your future. As the stars in heaven, so shall your seed be. That's spiritual Israel, the church. He saw us here today, but it happened in a place of intense heat and pressure. So many times, I'm afraid that we are like Proverbs 17 says, the eyes of the fool are on the ends of the earth, always looking at way out there. Oh, look at that one. Look at that life. I wish I had that. I wish I lived there. I wish I could go there. I wish I could do that. And you never realize that you're living in acres of diamonds right where you are. It's like the man on the $100,000 bass boat. I live on the lake. I see them come up sometimes. I'll watch them from my window as they're fishing, and they'll come up on those bass boats. They got the latest things, electronic stuff, flashing light. Looks like a disco. They got everything you've ever sitting up on cushioned seats. And you know what they do? They get out on the lake and throw toward the bank. As close as they can get to the bank. And if it gets real close to the dock and real close to the bank, they're happy. They feel like, oh, yes. And then there's a guy standing on the bank, and he's trying to throw it as far as he can get to the boat. Where's the fish at? They might be right there under your nose. Come on, I'm preaching to you. We got to get a spirit of thankfulness that says, thank you, Lord, for what I've got, where I am right now, not someday. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm not waiting on another day and another blessing. I'm loaded with acres of diamonds. My children may be acting crazy, but God's got a diamond in them. And I know he's got a plan for my marriage, my home, and my family. Every church is loaded and filled with acres of diamonds. Boy, this is a beautiful congregation. And then we got all these campuses, building another one over in Braselton as I speak. It's pretty exciting. But you know, I remember when we came to Free Chapel in Brownsbridge. It was just a great church, a great spirit. The Lord was moving. But as we begin to grow, God began to bless. We busted out the back wall and started putting chairs out. And it was just so exciting. But with that came enormous challenges. We seemed like we were always needing something. Always. and never had quite enough to get it. And it was a struggle. It was just, you know, and during those early days, it was like in the first 2 years, you know, we didn't have much of a staff. And when I first started, I had a part-time secretary, and that was it. And then we had just volunteers. The people were good volunteers in the church. I think we ought to go back to some of that. Amen. But I'm kidding. But what was amazing was something happened. I couldn't remember if it was the second or third year. But we were just dreaming and believing God to get that piece of land down the road that we could build our first building in. And it was, we were just dreaming and believing. And right in the middle of that, with all those challenges, and I remember some of the people, some of them left because they said the church was growing too fast and it just didn't feel like home and didn't feel like the old Free Chapel and all those little things you hear, you know. The good old days, and that's spelled D-A-Z-E, the good old days. And it's a little bit discouraging. People left, but more were coming all the time. And God was blessing, but it was a challenge. And I knew we didn't have TV. We didn't have all this. We didn't have none of this. But I knew. I looked out and I'd see acres of diamonds in that little country church. But right in the middle of that, a pastor called me from California. He pastored a mega church. And he said, I want you to consider something. He said, I love you, and I believe God's hand is on you, and I listen to you preaching. And he said, I'm about to retire, and I've got this beautiful building. It seats several thousand people. We've got several thousand people. Would you consider coming out here and talking with me? And I believe you could take this ministry to the next level as I retire. And I tell you, I'm spiritual, but I'm carnal too. And something in me, in the natural, said, that looks good. The grass is greener on the other side. My God, you don't have to live under this pressure. You don't have to live under this heat. You don't have to put up with Sister Bucket Mouth. Just go on. Just go on. It's waiting for you. This is God. He's opened a door that no man can shut. But Cherise said, we better pray about it. We went on the fast. We prayed. Boy, I knew that's not God's will. That's not God's will. We turned it down. I'm so glad that I didn't do that. That wasn't God's will for our life. And here we sit today. Look what the Lord has done. And it's His glory and it's His honor, and He did it. Now, I want you to stop and think for just one moment. What if I had let money determine that move? What if I had let big, nice, wow determine that move? What if I'd let ego determine that move? The enemy said, you can have it quick. You can have it quick. I the acres of diamonds are these altars being filled. Week after week after week after week, I would have missed all of those souls. I would have missed the miracle of preaching to 250 nations of the world every week. I would have missed it all. Booker T. Washington tells the story of some sailors who were out to sea in the 1800s. They didn't have modern communication, and they were thirsting to death. They had not had water for 3 days, hundreds of miles away from land, and they were desperate. And they sent a message as they saw a ship passing by, and they hadn't seen one forever. So they knew it was their one shot to life, and they sent a message. And they had to use flags, and they sent a message coded saying, we need water. And back came the message from the ship, let down your bucket. And they sent another one, true story, we need water. And they said, let down your bucket. And the ship went off the horizon, never to be seen again. Those desperate, cotton-mouthed, thirsting-to-death sailors felt all hope leave their heart. And the captain said, I don't know why he said do that, but let's give it a shot. We don't have nothing to lose. They took a bucket and they lowered it over the ship. And when they pulled it up, they were fully expecting the water to be nasty salt water, but when they reached a cup into it and began to drink, it was cool, clear, fresh water. What they didn't know was that right in the vein where they were, the Amazon River, the most mightiest river, largest river in the world, flows with fresh water into the ocean, pushes the heavier salt water down, and goes out to sea. It's so powerful, such a mighty river, that it goes out to sea for 200 miles. And the whole time they were thirsty. The whole time they were empty. The whole time that they felt like they were going to die. All they had to do, it was right under their nose. They were living in acres of diamonds, and all they had to do was let down their bucket. I'm preaching to people today who are addicted and you can't get free, but there's a river called Jesus Christ, and he's the well of life. And he says, what you can't do, I can do. And all you got to do is let down your bucket. I can set you free from alcoholism. I can turn your marriage around. I can restore your family. I can heal your body. Let down your bucket. There's never an impossibility with God. He can do it, and you're right in the right place. All you got to do is recognize where you are and who you serve, and let down your bucket. Don't go through this service if you're empty, if you're dry, if you're without hope, if you feel like you can't go on, if you feel like quitting and walking away. God brought you here today to let down your bucket. Give me a big amen right there. Can I preach one more thing to you? The world's greatest treasure, Jesus Christ, was hanging on a cross. We sing about the blood. We preach about it. We sing and come to church and teach our children about it and kid pack. But this was real. The world's greatest treasure. He doesn't look like it. His back is all plowed up. He looks like coal. He looks like carbon. He looks like a loser, a failure. He's dying. He's got nails in him and crown of thorns. What is phenomenal, ladies and gentlemen, listen, get this, is there were two thieves on both sides, and one of them looked at that treasure and saw trash. And with his dying breath, he cursed Jesus and went into eternity. He saw the blood. He heard the groans. He heard the prayer from the blood-caked lips. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He watched the sun disappear, but he was blinded. He couldn't see that everything he was needed, all he needed to do was let down his bucket in that blood, and it could cleanse him. It could take him to acres of diamonds called heaven. What's amazing is on the other side, another thief is looking at the same thing. And he doesn't see trash. He's looking at the same ox, the same plow, the same acreage, the same farm. But God opens his eyes and he says, I see a king. When you come into your kingdom, I know you don't look like much, but there's something about you. There's something about that dripping blood. And when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in acres of diamonds. Listen, here's the point. If this don't get you happy, something's wrong with you. You know how many billions of people have heard the story of Jesus, but they just don't get it? They just don't see it. They're in different religions and they just see a story, a historical figure. But if you today sit in this room and your name has been written in the book of life and you've seen it and you've been saved and you know that you're saved, you are living in acres of diamonds. Come on. And this world is the heat of the pressure. The last chapter of my book is about heaven, the ultimate place of diamonds, of acres of diamonds. And you know why it is? You know why it is? Because this world is just the heat and the pressure. But one day the trumpet's going to sound, and you're going to be transported to streets of gold and walls of jasper and gates of pearl. And where do you see my mansion in glory? My daddy's there. My brother's there. My family's there. What a day it will be. We're headed for acres of diamonds, and the chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Can you see it? When you lay your head on that pillow, tonight you need to rejoice that your name is written in heaven. And I found this old song on the internet. George Beverly Shea used to sing it at Billy Graham's crusades. I didn't even know it. I never heard of it. This one is older than I am. I thought I knew all the hymns. But it's called Acres of Diamonds and Mountains of Gold. Listen to these words. They are powerful.
Acres of diamonds, mountains of gold, rivers of silver, jewels untold, and all these together would buy you or me peace when we're sleeping or we're conscious free. A heart that's contented, rest for your mind. There's more wealth in your soul than acres of diamonds and mountains of gold. A heart that's contented, a satisfied mind. These are the treasures that money can't buy. When you have Jesus, there's more wealth in your soul than acres of mountains of gold, and acres of diamonds, and mountains of gold.
Turn to somebody and say, I'm extremely wealthy and you didn't know it. You have no idea who you're sitting by. I am very well off. Isn't it the truth? Isn't it the truth? Stand to your feet. No one leaving, please. Really feel the Lord here now. If you're in this room today and you don't have peace when you lay your head on that pillow, if you were to die and go into eternity, you know you're not right with God, and you would like to get right with God today, this is your altar call. This is your service. Some people will just have another altar call. They'll watch it and leave just like they came. But some of you, your eyes have been opened. And all you've got to do is let down your bucket. And you will leave here with peace and forgiveness and grace like you have never experienced in your life. This is your service. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would say, Pastor Jensen, pray for me. I need to get right with God today. I know I'm not living right, and I want to turn my life over to Jesus Christ. I need him. My eyes are open again. I need him. If that's you, boldly lift your hand right where you're standing. I want to see it all over this room. Raise it high and unashamed. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. All the way up in the top, all over the room. Raise it high and unashamed. And I know that a lot of churches don't do it, and that don't make us better than them, but I still believe in the power of an altar call. I still believe that when you humble yourself and walk down an aisle, every step you take is a step toward victory and miracles, and the Father comes running the moment you make your way to that aisle. So if you're here and you raised your hand, get out of your seat and come right now. Right down here, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I won't embarrass you. I won't humiliate you. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. Nobody's going to make you do it. But boy, when you move in this direction, this is your day of destiny. This is your miracle. This is your miracle moment. So come on, come on, come on, sir. Come on, businessman. Come on. Come on. Maybe your marriage is in trouble. Maybe your life is in trouble. Maybe you came here and you just are so dry and so empty and you need to let down your bucket. Come on. This is your altar call this morning. It's a little different, but God is calling you home. He's called you by name. He's opened your eyes. Come on. Come on. I'll wait on you. Come on. Come on. Come on, I'm gonna give it a shot. A heart that's contented, a satisfied mind. These are the treasures. These are the treasures that money can't buy. If you have Jesus, if you have Jesus, got wealth in your soul.
There's wealth in your soul. The acres of diamonds,
mountains of gold. You just made the greatest decision of your life. And he said, I won't cast you away. I won't turn you away. I won't reject you. You wouldn't have done that if God hadn't spoke to you. Don't ever say God has never spoke to you, because you wouldn't have walked down that aisle if he didn't speak to you. If he never speaks to you again, he spoke to you today, and he says, you're mine. And I'm going to let the heat and the pressure you've been under give birth to the greatest diamond the world has ever seen, Jesus, in your life. Pray this prayer out loud. Everybody say, Jesus, wash me, cleanse me. I'm like that thief. I see a king. Forgive me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I receive your peace. I let down my bucket. I receive your joy. I don't have to have a perfect life to enjoy life, but I'm going to enjoy it right where I am, right now. This is the day the Lord has made. I rejoice in it. I'm saved. I'm forgiven. And I know that God has a plan in Jesus' name for my life. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.